Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Saturday. Once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. Once again, grateful to Jesus Christ who has given us the opportunity to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all you listening to this broadcast, whether it's in this country or all over the world. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD2MAN@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Praise be to God. So as we await for my brother, come on, wherever you listen to me at, why don't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we're grateful for another day that you have blessed us to come together on this broadcast. Lord, you know what you desire to be taught tonight, what you desire to be spoken on. And Father, as those who speak tonight speak, move upon them by your Spirit to speak according to your desire and your will. I pray tonight for that your word will be rightly divided. I pray that those that will be hearing will be touched as the word is given. Lord, let your Spirit tonight rule and overrule, and help us to let it rule and overrule in the name of Jesus. So, Lord God, we give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory be to God. So this is Saturday. Those of you that follow us, you know what that means. Heart to Heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. My name is Brother Nate. I will be joining them. Glory be to God. And we grateful that we have entered another Saturday with another opportunity to present the Word of God to you this day. Amen. Remember the word that I've been giving you. It is time for a greater consecration unto the Lord. Satan is ramping up the pressure. He is increasing the intensity. And I'm talking about especially in his nations. In other nations, many Christians are and have been facing intensity that have been ramped up by the devil. And here in the United States, we have not seen such intensity yet of persecution. But it's on the way, and he is ramping it up. And I see through the things that are happening where he is ramping up the persecution of the true believers. Not everyone who claim to be of Christ will endure this intense persecution, because some people are going to renounce Jesus. Some people are going to hide and not stand. This is why the word to you today is to get into a greater consecration, that you may be anchored in Christ. Because if you don't, I'm telling you, what you're going to get ready to face is going to be something greater than you have probably faced before. You can either hear me or reject. It's your decision. but I'm giving this word of warning. Too many supposed to be Christians are taking this time for granted. And they think just because they say Jesus loves me and or they quote say I love Jesus, that think that they think that substitute preparation. They think that substitute consecration. And I'm almighty afraid there are some in the last days who's finna find out the hard way. He is a merciful God. And some of you, maybe on a personal level, he has been moving on you to do that for a long, long time. He is merciful. But if you keep on pulling it off, then you're going to reap behind it. Today is the day for you to hear the word and put into action the word of the Lord that you was commanded. Having said that, patch my brother on. God bless you, brother.
Shalom. Shalom, brother. The grace of God may abound. And abound to all of those that are listening, far and wide. Grateful for the opportunity again to present and tell of the story about the greatest story of mankind, the Savior coming from heaven to earth to bring us good news. Thank God. This is a wonderful, great day. The snow is still up 7-8 high, and it's supposed to go down maybe 5 to 2 below zero tomorrow. Maybe 2 or 5 below zero. And so we're doing good.
Okay. Well, brother, since you gave such numbers and you still told us that you're doing good, we're shaking and shivering at 28 degrees right now. So you can imagine how that, what you're calling, that you're doing good, if you were a weatherman here in Mississippi, how great a panic you would start. So, having said that.
Oh, my goodness. 28, I just put on a little light coat, a little sweater or something, you know, and go out and enjoy the scenery. And say,
well, you know what?
Thanks.
Everybody in Mississippi would not be able to drive their car because they'd be staring at you. They would not be able to drive their car, brother. They wouldn't know how to act around you. They'd just be staring at you. They couldn't even drive.
Yeah, I guess they just don't know how to enjoy the environment and the weather that God gives. They just don't know how to enjoy. I guess we have to take them to school, train them how to enjoy it. You all have a different
passion. Yeah, I mean, cold weather here, no doubt, is different from where y'all at. Y'all got the type of cold weather that, brother, we're probably crying all day long. Now, I think where we different with y'all at also is in the summertime, because we don't just have heat, we have high humidity a lot. So,
yeah,
definitely if you don't drink enough water, you're going to find out. You're going to find out.
Well, I guess, in the creation, God decided that to give us diversity all over the world, and we're grateful for it. Now, you all have dry cold, which is a different kind of cold that we have here. Yours is a dry, basically dry type cold. We have a wet, snowy climate in Chicago, mostly four seasons, and mostly three seasons, both look like. But we're learning how to enjoy it. I know about Mississippi cold, the type of cold, because I went to school in it. And when it gets maybe 30 degrees above, it's just awful for for the people that live through it, who live in a hot climate. It's difficult for them. They're just driving and everything else. But anyway, I remember our water line when I was going to school. The water used, my father had to go out in front of the house and take the rod and turn the water off at night. And at least, you know, the water line would freeze. Then on the morning, he has to go turn it back on. And in our house, we had to keep the water dripping so the water line would not freeze, you know, and all that. So
okay, well,
it was
kind of, we still doing that now, brother.
Oh,
we
still
doing
that?
That now. Yeah, and we, in fact, we letting it drip from the hydrant outside. So we still doing.
Yeah, I remember that we had the hydrant outside. He would let it drip so it wouldn't freeze, and in the kitchen they would have it dripping too. And then he would turn it out the main line to the street. He would take the thing and turn it off, so that the line, it wouldn't burst because it'll freeze and the water line would burst. So we had to do all that. But it's all good. It's all wonderful. The Lord is blessing the earth. In some places, people are having really, really bad problems. But today we have good news for them, that the gospel of Jesus Christ can heal the land. Isn't that strange that wherever the gospel of Christ is preached, that's healing of the land and lifting the curse and changing the environment. And that's good news. Isn't that good news? And when, you know, he says in 2 Chronicles 7:14. By the way, we acknowledge the Lord Jesus and we acknowledge the Holy Spirit and the death and on the cross and the resurrection, and we celebrate Yom Kippur, and this is Handmaid's Night. And women all over the world, and we invite you to come and listen to us and share with us this hour that we have. Now, that it always think to me that in 2 Chronicles 7:14, that he talks about repenting and returning to the living God and healing the land, because not only the climate and the land need to be healed, and not only the people themselves, because he said, I would heal the land. And not only heal particular geographically the physical land, but healing the people, but healing the land where they dwell in. So, you know, he said, I will bless the land, and it will produce, and it will be the best. And he said, Israel, everything will be blessed. It will be good and pleasant for you. So, That's you know, one of the promises that America is having a lot of problems with her land, her crops and waterways and her airways. And the three things when a nation become under curse, the water become polluted, the land become polluted, the atmosphere, the climate is radically changed, and the crops won't produce, and the waterways, and the earthquake starts rebelling, a sign that the judgment of the Lord is upon the land. And the people become polluted and very rebellious and greedy and all of that stuff, and cause the whole atmosphere to be changed. But the gospel of Christ will come and heal and bring deliverance to all those areas. So that's good news. You know, you go out as a believer, you're under the blood covenant of Christ, and he said, I'll bless every place to sow your feet. So often we need to walk around our houses, our land, and our places and begin to declare the blessings of Abraham upon our land, around us, and do this because the promise of God is sure.
Amen.
Yeah, we really need to do that often. We need to do that. And as we get closer to the end time, we better bless our home. We better bless our around us. We better release the blessing over us and over our children and our going and our coming, because we have an adversary. So anyway, but we have authority given of Jesus Christ, and we can have to exercise that authority as sons of God. And if we don't exercise that authority, the enemy is going to smack us too, just like he do the ungodly.
Amen.
Yeah. And we have authority given us to Jesus Christ to bless our food where it's polluted or it's poisonous, and everything that our land, our crops, to lift the curse, because Christ redeemed us from under the curse. And so we should often exercise authority and ability to bless and lift the curse. And so it's important that we begin to exercise authority as sons of God. And Romans 8 talks about taking dominion and taking authority in every avenue of life. I think that people are not taught that as sons redeemed in Christ, Romans 8, that we have been given authority like Adam over the land and in the earth. And this is why it's called the kingdom of God has come. And he said, pray, our Father, pray that the kingdom of God will come and the gospel of the kingdom would come. And so now we're living in days of the gospel of the kingdom. We have to exercise authority and dominion. But we don't do that because the majority of Christians don't know what authority has been given them through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and they don't exercise that authority and their dominion. And so Christ died and lifted, a curse was placed on him, and we are redeemed from the curse. Not only that curse of spiritual death, but we are redeemed from all the curses, and we have to exercise dominion and power in every place and everything we do. You know, this land, we're supposed to bless the land. And you know, we live in a body that comes from the land. And a human body, and we have, and Satan would attack this land, our body, which is made out of the earth. And the Lord blessed this land, which is the house that we live in, which is a physical body. That's why the curse still exercising ability over our body and over our mind. And Christ said he himself has redeemed us in Galatians 3 from the curse, not only of the law, the curse of Adam too. And we have to start exercising authority and dominion in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yeah. And we got to act like we believe it. I know we say, but we have to start acting like it. Oh, wow. We got to act like we believe it. And you know what comes to mind? The angel that comes in this day, the angel messenger Elias, made a statement to in 91st message to our wonderful scribe, Brother Draves. He says to Brother Draves when he came, the greater power is on you. Then he said something which is very, very important. Now, the angel of the Lord is standing in his presence and giving him the word of the gospel. And Brother Draves is the scribe, and he'd been receiving this angel message for years and standing in the present power of God. And he tells Brother Draves, I think it's, 91:25 or something, I think. He said, Brother Draves, the greater power is on you. The greater power is on you. The greater power is on you. The greater power of God is on you. If you would but. Now, you want to read that, brother? Let me see if I got my word. In Message 91, and is it 25? Oh, no, I don't know. Let me think something. 91:25. Which one is it?
Let me see. I think it's 91 and 49.
Oh, 49. Okay.
Yeah. The greater gifts and power are on you if you will but qualify and strengthen your faith in actions
I place peace upon you and leave a blessing for all who read these words. Amen.
Now you notice the key thing. If you would but, supposition. If you would but. Now, wait a minute now. What is so important about that statement that he just, the angel said to Brother Draves? What is so important about it for us to understand? What is so important to us as redeemed believers? What is so key to that statement that's backed about many Bible scriptures? What is so key and important about that scripture that the angel spoke to him, the Elias?
Well, in order for this greater power and gifts to operate and be beneficial, you have a part that you have to play.
Oh, it's something I have to do?
Yep.
You mean the greater power and gifts can be upon you, but if you don't exercise, if you don't act, then it's just be like having sugar in the cabinet and not using it, right?
Right.
So that's amazing for us to understand this principle. He says the greater gift and power are yours, are on you. You have them. But then he says, what, two other things. What's the two things he says that we have to do, individuals have to do?
Qualify and strengthen your faith in action.
Wow. Qualify and strengthen your faith by action? Did it say action?
Right. Right.
Jesus often exercised authority and faith, and he said, take up your bed and walk. And he's constantly doing these things by the leading of the Holy Ghost. He's constantly doing things, acting in authority of faith who he is. Sir, take up your bed and walk. I mean, you know, this is amazing now. In fact, he did all the way through his ministry. He knew exactly who he was. And he knew the leading of the Holy Spirit. And he began to exercise. So when we start exercising, you know, you do bodybuilding now for years, right?
Right.
So what do you have to do in order for your muscles to develop your muscles and make them bigger and stronger? What do you have to do?
You have to have some resistance training. You have to lift the weight, whether you're pushing it or pulling it.
So you have to exercise your muscles. You
right.
have to, if you want some results, you just go into the weight room and just do nothing, right? And the muscles will get big and stronger, right?
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen?
Not going to happen.
No, wait a minute. Yeah, these weight lifters and muscle builders, all they have to do is just go into the weight room and look at the weights and say, oh, I got it, and do nothing, right? They don't have to exercise or train or nothing for them to see results, do they? No, they have to actually constantly train diligently and release and cooperate in order to get those muscles or strengthen themselves. Is that right?
That's right.
So these you guys, you see these muscle builders developing. My son is into it now. James, he going to contest, and I got a picture of him, you know, and his training in order to get results to get his muscles, his body in shape. He's something he has to do. So in the area of the kingdom of God, the principle is the same. The principle is the same. Now, notice what he said to Brother Drake. What did he say in 91 and 49? The angel is verifying what's in the Bible. He says, Brother Drake, the greater powers own you, the greater gift. But you not, it looks like you're not using them. Is that what he's saying?
That's correct.
So even though the greater power and gifts are on him, unless he trains and start and training him, develop him, and start acting on it, nothing is going to really happen, is it?
That's right. Amen.
So that happens to practically a lot of the redeemed believers. Now, you would think that our brother Dre would, being the president of the angel, receiving the angel message for years, that he would be the last one that need a reminding of that. But he had to be reminded of that, and he's the scribe, and you would think that would be the opposite. But the angel got a mind and said, listen here, brother Dre, why aren't you using the greater power and exercising it? Sound like a lot of people be missing their deliverance or their healing or whatever, wouldn't it? I mean, so what would have happened if he hadn't did what the messenger said concerning that?
Wow.
Wow is right.
Wow
would be very much right. Amen. Wow. Why? What is the spirit and power of Elijah? What to mean the spirit of power? It means to prove God to be what?
Real.
Better say that again. What do it mean? The spirit and
prove
power
God
of Elijah.
To be real. Prove God to be
no.
real. No.
Prove God to be real.
Yeah.
Prove God to be real.
Eat about the machine glory. Hmm.
You mean to tell me that John come in the spirit and power of Elijah, the old prophet of the Testament, he stood and proved that Jehovah was real, did he?
Yeah, right.
So what are we supposed to do with the spirit and power of Elijah? Just say, well, I've been baptized, that's it, and hands laid on me, and that's it. That's the end of that, right?
No, not going to happen. No, sir. It ain't going to work.
So when are we going to exercising who we are in Christ? When we lost our ability in the Garden of Eden. And we have dominion. Adam had a dominion over of everything and over everything. And now Christ has given it back to him. And what does it mean to restore all things? What does it mean to the day of refreshing that we're living in and the day of restoring of all things? Well, it looks like we need to learn the first premise of the gospel. Prove God to be real, right?
Amen.
What's the purpose of the Holy Ghost coming? One of the purposes of the Holy Ghost coming is to prove God to be real in our lives, right? And I often wonder about that when he reminded Brother Dre's of this. And I wonder if Brother Dre's would have started exercising that. Mind, the world probably would know about this work, Brian.
Without a shadow of a doubt. Without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah. Wow. I wonder, should we start exercising the main authority and seated in Christ? Should we start doing it and acting like Christ is alive and real?
Yes, sir. We need to. He'll find somebody that will. We don't. That's for real.
Will you be to tell the Lord to go and find somebody else to do our job or my job or your job?
Yeah. You know, that's what they do on the regular jobs here on the earth. You don't do it, we find somebody else.
Oh, my goodness. So the Lord got to find somebody to prove that Yahweh, prove that Jesus is real in principle, in truth, and righteousness and holiness and exercising the Elijah power. So what are we fighting one another for? We ought to be fighting the kingdom of darkness, though.
We should. But that ain't happening.
Wow. So you think the devil got us, a lot of Christians, pulling out their swords, fighting one another. Oh,
swords,
my goodness.
Battle axe, hammers, swords, clubs, hammers, battle axe, all that.
Arrows and bows and spears and everything in it.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're being tricked. Here's how we're being tricked. Israel consists of 12 tribes. Israel, the Hebrew people, consist of 12 distinct separate tribes. You know, in the end, that they start fighting one another, the house of Israel and the house of Judah start fighting one another when they were one and all under one. But when Israel, the 10 tribes, separated during the days of Jeroboam, and they start fighting one another. Now, they were brothers and sisters and fighting one another.
Yeah.
Israel, the 10 tribes, are fighting against Judah when they were separated, and the Judah was called the Jews, and the other 10 tribes were called the house of Israel. And then they become enemies to one another. Isn't that something? And that's the same way in Christianity. Same way. The devil put in that same stuff. Same stuff. And he's doing it to the restoration too, isn't he? Is he doing it to the restoration?
Yes, he is.
So when are we going to make a fool out of the devil instead of devil making a fool out of us? Lord, help us to turn the tables on this devil. Lord Jesus, awaken your people. Open their eyes. Humble us. Turn the tides on the kingdom of darkness and the devil. And let us war against the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of Satan, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Instead of warring against one another, help us to be helpers. Help us to help one another, enlighten one another in the love of God, in Jesus' name. So if we were the Christians who are redeemed in Christ, would turn all their arrows and their swords against the enemy, wonder what the world would look like.
Turn upside down, brother. Turn upside down.
Upside down. You think
upside
we can breathe? We can breathe some faith on, even on the restoration and other Christian groups, that the walls and the difficulties of being against one another, fighting against one another, divided against one another, that we'll turn the tables on the devil and his plan and become unified in Christ and the foundation of Christ?
Most definitely. That's what something he don't want. That's why he got to fight each other.
Yeah, he had a lot of success in this, but he's going to lose. He's going to lose. All right, let's read a scripture. We were on the different types of prayers, and we were talking about the different areas and dimensions of prayer. And we stopped at one area of prayer yesterday, and in the eighth chapter of Romans, verse 26, many people get stuck on one area of prayer, one dimension. But there are many, many areas of prayer and many dimensions and different types of prayers that we see in the scripture. But sometimes as Christians, we get stuck on the begging prayer. Now, one thing I love my Christian brother, I think we have perfected the begging prayer. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, to the utmost degree, brother. To the utmost degree.
I think you're right. I think that we look on the walls of many Christians. They got a doctor degree up there that said, I got a doctor degree in begging. Begging and unbelief. Okay. I think that happens to many of us until our eyes are open by studying the scriptures. Okay, let's go into this one area of prayer that we ended on yesterday. I think one of the areas we stopped on was Romans 8:26.
Amen. Romans 8:26. Ready for me to read it?
Yes, sir.
All right, Romans 8:26. The word said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
This is what I would say. This is my personal observation. If you were to interview, just say, the general population of people who refer to themselves as Christian, Bible-believing Christian, I would say, if you were to interview them and say, what different means and what different dimensions of prayers do you know and do you utilize in your life or in your walk? And you ask them and say, are you familiar with Romans 8:26? And are you exercising, or is this being exercised in your life? I would say half of the Christians, one that call themselves Christians, are believers in Christ, the body of Christ who call. I'm talking about the legitimate body of Christ, the legitimate redeemed body of Christ. I'm not talking about people that just call themselves Christians, but I'm talking about the legitimate redeemed body of believers. I would say that over half of them are not exercising this, having this exercise tonight. What would you say?
I would agree. In fact, I would say the same number in dealing with knowing the difference between the God faith and the natural faith.
Yeah, probably so. Now, as we read that scripture about this area of prayer that's beyond the other area of prayer, this is entering to the engaging intercession and spiritual warfare all tied together in this type of prayer. Now, it's talking about the Holy Spirit in particular. So what does it say in 26 again about the Holy Spirit doing something? We're allowing the Holy Spirit to do something in this area of combat and intercession.
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
Now, Paul was under attack in the church under great persecution in the first century, and there were many martyrs. And the Holy Spirit is at times when we enter into an area of real prayer, desires to make intercession in us. Now, this is the type of prayer that majority of Christians may not get to or experience. I experienced it somewhat, not as the Lord would want me to. I'm making myself available, yielded to do so, to be yielded. This is when you yield yourself totally to prayer and give yourself totally to an area of prayer. Not the anointed prayer that said, our Father, which in heaven, hallowed be, and go to bed, or just saying, Lord, we don't know what to, you know, this kind of prayer without knowledge. Lord, we hope this is your will, and we don't know what your will is, and all that kind of stuff. I think well-meaning people just don't have the knowledge what's available to them in a different type of prayer besides the I don't know your will and begging prayer. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Another area that connects with this is interconnection. 1 Corinthians 14, beginning verse 14 and 15. The Apostle Paul is enlightening the Corinthian church and teaching them as well as teaching us. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 and 15 says what?
For if I pray in the unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also.
Now, this, if you would bring this to the average Christian, what are you talking about? You know that what's that little TV prayer? The little kid would say, "What you talking about, Willis? What you talking about?"
Oh, different strokes. Yeah.
Yeah, the little kid would say, "What you talking about? What you talking about?" And if you would bring this to the average person, a Christian, and ask them, "Have this? Is this operating in your life? Since you say that you are the church, or you are Christ's heir, or you Christ's servant, is this operating in your life?" As the Apostle Paul says, "Since we are restoring all things," now remember, this is the day of restoring all things. Is that right? The day of refreshing, the day that Acts 3:20-22, that we're living in the times of restoration, all things, where all things are supposed to be really restored to the body of Christ. Since they come out of apostasy, the church was in apostasy for 1,260 years, and in the 1829, it ended, and so the Reformation with the restoration begins. So let's see, is this operating in the average believer? When you were questioning the average believer, do you think that half of them or maybe two-thirds of them don't know what you're talking about or have not experienced this?
Most definitely, yeah.
Wow. Well, do you think the Lord wants us to operate in that level since his restored church had all of these benefits, all of these benefits?
Yes, yes.
But what has hindered men? Traditions of men and ignorance, right?
Amen.
Now, traditions are man-made thoughts and rules. And so if you tell people, I said, do you know the Lord said, Paul, that in the Corinthian church, they was operating under the Holy Ghost, and they were praying in tongues, singing in tongues. Well, brother, we don't believe in that stuff. We don't want none of that. You think that a half of them would put you out, right?
Oh, yeah, they'll carry you out there, brother.
They'll carry you out? They might throw you out, right?
Yeah, they'll throw you out. They're going to get you out of there.
So they want to bleed certain parts of the scripture and want to cut the other part of the gospel out. Now, if you take part of the plan of the gospel, you're going to lose something. Is that right?
That's right.
If I cut part of your fingers out and leave you with three fingers, you're going to know a difference. Is that right?
That's right.
But if I give you all five, your fingers and your thumb, then like they're supposed to be, that would be a whole hand. So when the Christian church is not whole because it rejects part of the plan and purposes and gifts of God. Oh, brother, we don't believe in no Acts 1 and 2. I said, well, why is it in the Bible? Why did
Amen.
It fall upon them? Well, we don't need that, and we don't teach that, and our farmers don't teach that. I said, okay. Well, I'm going to start teaching there's no stars, no moon, and since the creation, we don't need the stars and moon no more. What about that? Since you said we don't need that no more, I just go down the line and say, well, this is 2000 years. We don't need no stars, no moon. We don't need no sun. So if you're going to do away, you're going to do away the natural order. You're going to do away the spiritual area, which you, I don't need this. Then I might well just start going down the line. Well, we don't need no stars, Brother Nate. We don't need no moon. We don't need no sun. You know, so if you're going to do away with something, you know, every church, usually some area of the gospel they don't want, they reject. Do you think that's probably true?
Yeah, that's true.
It is true.
You go down the line to Christianity. You start at the whatever area, evangelist, Baptist, Michelle, M-Baptist, Episcopal, Methodist, Church of God, there is Holiness Assembly, Latter Rain, All Sanctified, all these different groups. Some of them, of these groups, are more enlightened than others. Now, what I find about going around with the Pentecostal people, they are more enlightened. Now, I don't mean they don't have no traditions, but I found that Pentecostal people are more enlightened. Have you found that to be true about certain things?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, we're not saying the other people are not Christians, but we're saying that certain areas, some Christians are more enlightened, and they have accepted deeper revelations of the truth of the gospel than others, while the others just throw it out the window. We don't want that. We don't have that. It's just like praise and worship, and you lift your hands and you worship. Oh, brother, we don't have that. We don't need that. But wasn't that in the New Testament church? Wasn't that in the Old Testament? Yeah, but we don't need it. We don't need all that. Right?
Yeah.
So they tell the Lord what they don't need. And so we're going to be real smart. We tell it's in the scriptures. It is Bible. It is a principle. It's foundation of Christ. And we got the nerve to tell God what we don't need. Now, this sounds like the foolish virgins to me. Do that sound like the foolish virgins to you?
Yeah, it do.
Well, now, it's just like you telling me when I build a house, I don't need the four corners. I think I don't need no four corners. Just give me three corners. Well, that may, if you're going to build a house now, you're going to leave out one of the corners because you say, I don't need that no more. We don't build a house. We just need two corners, and the house would be okay. No, you're leaving out. You just can't do away with what you think you want to do with. You know. Well, I'm going to build this house, and I'm going to have a roof, but we don't need no rafters. Just leave the rafters out, and we can put the roof up there without the rafters. And we don't need that no more. So we done got so smart in this generation telling God things in the scripture, in the gospel, we don't need that no more. We don't have that no more. God did away with that. Called dispensational in people. Boy, we done got so smart. We done become like the foolish virgins. We don't need no extra oil. We don't need that. Okay. Let's go to Jude chapter 1, the last epistle in the Bible, just before Revelation. The brother of Jesus, half-brother Jude, wrote this small epistle. Said to be he was a half, what they call the half-brother or whatever, of Jesus and of Mary. And the book of Jude, J-U-D-E, just before Revelation, chapter 1, and it talks about, I think it's verse, is that verse 10? You have that?
Yeah.
Let me see.
Verse 10.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a particular verse you were looking for?
Yeah. Praying in the Holy Ghost, building ourselves in the Holy Faith. Now.
Okay, verse 20.
10 or 21, whatever it is.
Verse 20. The word of God said, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost.
Now, it says something very important. Three things. This is a different a higher dimension of prayer. It says three things. What did Jude say to us again?
Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost.
Now, he also said in that same book, what? To honestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints.
Amen.
What do you think that's talking about, those two scriptures together? What do you think they're talking about? What is trying to suggest to us, especially in the latter day?
That we have to stand for the faith of Jesus Christ in this time and deliver the true doctrine of Jesus Christ to the people. You're going to face some resistance.
And so we need to contend honestly for the revelation of truth of the day's restoration of the complete gospel of Jesus Christ, the full God. You know, the angel, the messenger that speaks today, he kept in many, many places. This angel says, he says, preach the full gospel. Why did he say, preach the complete full gospel?
Because it wasn't being preached at first.
No, I'm talking about this angel, Elijah, coming in our day saying this.
Right.
This is our day. I'm not talking about back then. I'm talking about down now in our day, in the 20th century, the angel Elijah coming, and he kept telling the church, he said, preach the complete, teach the whole teachings of Christ, the full gospel. Now, if the full gospel was being preached, he wouldn't have to say it. See, the Lord don't say things just to be saying things if it's already being done. Because he keeps saying, teach the full doctrine, teach the whole truth, the complete. Why is he saying such things? Here we are, gotten a message and had the message for over 50 years, and he's reminding us that we need to qualify, strengthen our faith, and then teach the full gospel, the whole truth. Why was he saying that? What do you think he's saying that?
Because it wasn't being done.
What wasn't being done?
The preaching of the gospel fully.
All right, Sister Allison, you out there?
I'll give her a minute. I'm going to give her a minute. She'll be on.
Where's Sister Helen hiding over there?
I'm going to give her a minute, too. She's going to be on, too. When you make that call, I'm looking for them to come on in a minute.
Okay. Now, we talk about prayer, but remember there's a conduit where everything works, a method. And what's the key to prayer being answered and the different types of prayer? Let's go to Hebrew 11 and 6. Hebrew chapter 11, I think, what is it, verse 6?
Right.
I have my Bible here.
Welcome, Sister Anderson, Sister T. God bless y'all. Welcome.
God bless.
God bless you.
Welcome. Hebrew 11 and what is it, Hebrew 11 and 6 or 11 and 8 in my younger age?
But without faith, it is impossible to
please
him.
Now, prayer, oftentimes people leave out the part that is very important to prayer. And what's that part to having prayers answered?
Faith.
Sister Teague.
Amen. I'm here.
I'm asking the question, dear one.
Okay, the word said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So the question that you are asking then, people go into prayer, but they don't go into prayer having faith that Jesus is going to, he said he will reward them that diligently seek him, We just go into prayer and say some words.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Helen T.
Amen. Yes, I think going into prayer in humility, and you know, in sincereness and humility before
the
Lord.
Why is it necessary for a sick? What important role does verse 6 play in the prayer of the believers? Verse 6.
Faith.
Now, without the biblical basis of basing your prayers on the word of promise and basing your prayer on faith in that promise, or putting your prayer in conjunct to the faith of the promises of God, so therefore you have to know what the promises of God are.
Mm-hmm.
If you pray relying upon just emotions, then how do faith come? What type of correct biblical faith come you must base your prayers on? Now, how do faith come? Romans 10 says, how do faith build in your life? How do name the five ways that faith is built in your life? Somebody, the five ways of faith.
Hearing the word of faith coming by hearing the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What are the other four ways?
Confession.
Okay. What are the other three ways?
Faith comes through actions and works. It's stepping forth in what you know the word to be. The word tells us about Jesus' promises, and if we know those promises, then we can step out in action. And that action will bring about faith.
Okay, very good. Now, the Bible gives some information about how to obtain and build your faith.
Mm-hmm.
How to obtain and build, and then it teaches you about how to release your faith. Three things. How do you obtain faith? The God's kind of faith. The Bible kind of faith. And how you maintain your faith.
Mm-hmm.
And then how you release that faith. Remember, what is it, 2 Corinthians 5:7? The just shall live by faith, his faith. Is that right, Brother Nate? The just shall live by his faith.
That's right.
Now, what kind of faith is this? Because most people think all faith is the same. They think that when you hear the word faith, it's all the same. I'm afraid not. Now, the God's kind of faith, let's say the God's kind of faith, the Bible kind of faith.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The Bible kind of faith. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The Abraham kind of faith.
Mm-hmm.
The Jesus kind of faith.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about different faith that people have not entered to. I'm talking about the biblical type of faith that the Lord is on, which is called the Abraham type of faith, the Jesus type of faith. Now, how do we obtain faith? How do we attain this kind of faith? How do we gain or build? How do we receive it? How do we maintain it? And how do we continue to build the God's kind of faith? Now, you notice what he said to Brother Draves in message 91:5. Notice what he reminded Brother Draves about in prayer or it releasing this kind of faith prayer that gets an answer. Faith prayer. When you ever talk about prayer, you have to say faith prayer. You don't just talk about prayer, faith prayer. 91 and 49.
The greater gifts and powers are on you if you will but qualify and strengthen your faith in action.
Uh-huh.
I place peace upon you and leave a blessing for all who read these words. Amen.
Now, we'll read these words, but we're going to, now we're reading these words.
Okay.
But that don't mean you're going to apply them. That don't mean because I read it, I'm actually going to become a doer of the word, not just a hearer or a reader. Now, the difference is, he's reminding Brother Dre's of something that all of us have to be reminded of. Read those three things that he says that's important for every believer that he tells Brother Dre's. Read it again.
He has the greater gift and the powers are upon you if you will but qualify and strengthen your faith in action. Strengthen your faith in action.
Anything that the Lord deals with requires for you to strengthen yourself in it and act on it. Brother Nate lifts weights. In order for him to get results, what do you have to do, Brother Nate?
You have to exercise. You must.
You have to get a plan of discipline and a diligent plan daily or to pursue to begin to consistently exercise. Consistent and diligent exercise for those muscles in his body to develop. They start out getting bigger and bigger and bigger as he consistently and diligent exercise. Now, he just do it one or two times, it ain't going to work, is it, Brother Nate?
No.
That's right.
So if you want the results for them to get fully developed, then you have to continue to what? Work at it, right?
Amen.
That's correct.
Amen.
Now, if you want our faith to develop, to all develop, then you have to become a what? A yielded vessel. Say yielded vessel. Say yielded vessel.
A yielded vessel. Amen. Amen.
A yielded vessel.
A yielded vessel. Amen.
Yielded vessel.
Now, if you want the result, you have become a more yielded vessel. Okay.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When I was lifting weights, oh, Brother Nate, you know I lifted weights about 40, 45 years ago. I know it. And I would go to the YMCA three or four times a week. And I was consistent and diligent. And they had all these guys in there. Some were weight training, then some were muscle building. And I was just consistent going four times, and I wasn't lifting no really heavy weights. And I just using consistency.
Mm-hmm.
And they were looking at me, and the guys in there finally looked at me and said, he don't do be lifting all these heavy stuff, and yet we see results. And they're looking at me, he's getting results. And they was wondering at me, and all those guys, and they was lifting all kind of weights and doing all kind of reps and doing all that. I would just come in 4 days, get my little training session, my little weight. I'd just be consistent, keep working on it, consistent, just diligently, 4 days a week, you know. And after a while, it took a while. I started developing. it started getting, my muscles, tone started getting better. And that how it go, Brother Nate?
That's right. Amen.
Now, in order for your muscles to develop, you have to eat something. If you want them greatly developed, there's a substance you have to eat. There's a protein, whatever you call it, brother, you have to eat it. Eat this. Now, if you want your faith to develop, you have to eat something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have to constantly eat the promises of God. I said you have to eat the promises of God. I said eat the promises of God if you want
eat
your faith to develop.
Of God. Eat the promises of God.
Amen.
Amen.
You got to make it your daily meal. Say my daily meal.
Daily meal.
Yes, Lord. Make it my daily meal.
You got to make it your daily bread. And then start acting on it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make no difference what people say. Start acting on it. Don't care if it don't seem to work the first time. It don't seem to work the third time. Just keep acting on it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
And the devil said, "Oh, hey, it ain't." The devil gonna tell you, "Oh, see, it ain't nothing happening here. You might as well quit that." Well, why you want me to quit it, devil? If ain't nothing going to happen, well, why you want to quit? Why you want me to quit?
Mm-hmm.
We ought to ask the devil, why you want me to quit if there's nothing going on? Man, ain't you got better things to do, devil? Or don't you have better things to do, devil? Okay. You notice the devil come creeping around when something's really working. And he's trying to tell you that ain't working.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Amen.
Now, he says you have to receive it, maintain it, and develop it. Now, how do you receive the three means that faith cometh? Can somebody tell me the five ways that faith cometh? Well, I'm going to give you my assessment. Faith, the God's kind of faith cometh by hearing the preached word.
Mm-hmm.
The second way faith cometh by hearing the teach word. The second word come from the exalted word. Then the other way faith come from the prophetic word. Okay? Then faith cometh. Are you listening to me? Faith cometh and keep coming when you meditate in the word day and night. Psalms 1. Faith cometh.
Yeah.
Now, this is what most people don't say. Faith also cometh in prayer. Because the Holy Spirit will begin to speak to you, and when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, he also imparts faith.
Mm-hmm.
So in prayer, when faith comes in by hearing.
Faith coming by hearing.
And I give you five ways, the way faith keeps coming. Three, five ways. Hallelujah. And when you get to exercise these five ways by hearing, these five ways, faith will come, the God's kind of faith. All right, here we got the God's kind of faith. Now we're ready for prayer. Because faith always had to be connected with prayer, and prayer had to be connected with faith. And people want to, and there's three areas about prayer: faith and relationship. Faith and fellowship. Now, let's see. In James chapter 5, it says the prayer of the righteous availeth much. Now, it didn't just say prayer verse, but it said the prayer of the righteous.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know a lot of people, oh, I pray. I said, but do you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus? Well, who you got a relationship with if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Who relationship do you have with? If one does not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus as Savior, what relationship do they have with?
Hmm.
No, you ain't got to try to hurt them or condemn them, but you just want to put a spiritual question to them and say, well, if you don't have Jesus and Christ in your life, what's in your life?
Amen. Yes.
Well, you have to consider that. You know, if you said, I pray. and most sinners will tell you they pray. And most ungodly people, and most people will say, I pray. Oh, yeah, I pray. I said, but that's based on your relationship. Prayer is based on a relationship with the person you're praying with, or praying to. Now, if you're praying to a stranger, do that stranger have to answer you? Okay. If you don't know this person, he's a stranger. I say he's a stranger.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
That's right.
We were all strangers at one time.
Yeah, that's right.
We were all strangers. We were not the covenant. Paul said we were all aliens and strangers to God.
Mm-hmm.
But when Jesus came. Now, prayer is based on faith and your relationship. Now, James chapter 5 says, Elijah was a man of like passion. He had the same weakness. He was tempted with the same thing, difficulties, like we were. But he prayed, and it did. And heavens was shut up, and it didn't rain for 3 years. And he says, the prayer of the righteous availeth much. Is that right?
Yeah.
The prayer of the righteous?
Mm-hmm. Righteous.
Well, it don't make any difference. Everybody just utter words, but utter words is not prayer. See, most people think prayer is just uttering words.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of things the Bible tells us, but that we people think all they got to do is utter some words, and that's prayer. Mm-hmm. Prayer to who?
Yes,
prayer is based on your relationship and fellowship, whether it will get through.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Well, okay. Do you know that witches and warlocks do more praying than we do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about real sorcerers, witches, and Satan's, they pray a lot to the devil. I mean, do you know that witches and warlocks, they fast sometimes for 40 days to get power to destroy Christians?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anybody out there?
Amen.
Do you not know that you have a full-time witch and sorcerer in your regions, or in the area you're living in?
Uh-huh. I believe that. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Well, you ain't got to believe it. I'm going to get over that. While you having all this problem and all these difficulties, you got the devil and his kingdom is stationed everywhere. And I'm talking about real witches. I'm not talking about these little psychics. I'm not talking about these little psychics that read you. I'm talking about real witches and so. I'm not talking about these people just read your name and give me some money. They just little stuff. They're little stuff. I'm talking about the real ones.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I have, in my lifetime, have come face to face with a real warlock.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Nate.
Yes.
I'm not boasting, but I didn't know no better. I have come in contact with a real warlock.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, when Christians always talk about what they got and how much power, who they got, they need to meet some real witches and warlocks, and you'll find out what you got.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nobody else there?
That's the truth. Amen.
I'm going to give you an example. I have met a lot of vicious dogs by going from door to door and witnessing in different neighborhoods. And these dogs, one dog burst through the door. When we came down, he just break through the door. I think Brother Crocker said he burst through that door. That dog he broke the door to cover that. He was a vicious fella. Brother Nate, you ain't got Listen, I've been met dogs when I be out witnessing.
Yeah.
And I'm not boasting in me, but I ain't got bit yet. I haven't got bit yet.
Amen.
I ain't gonna say I wouldn't run now. I'm not gonna say that Paul had to run to get out of town when he was being good. I'm not gonna say if you have to run to get away, you better get away. But I haven't necessarily had to run. I've told stories about how I've been attacked by dogs. Now, if you can't deal with a dog, how you gonna deal with the real power of the enemy?
Amen.
Because we are tested in different areas.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying now. I'm not trying to put nobody down, but I'm saying if you can't deal with the goose, you may not deal with the gander.
Okay. I heard
that
before.
Okay. Here we are. How do we build our faith? And how faith is attached to the answer to prayer? And how is our relationship concerning an answer to prayer? The prayer of my people shall be heard. Do you know that's a promise where God makes a promise, a covenant, that the devil don't want you to know that God promised and covenant that his people's prayer would be heard?
Amen.
Now, I know all people in general think that everybody that's praying in the earth, their prayers are being heard. Well, I want to let you know the witches and warlocks, Satan, they pray more than Christians. And I want you to know that Islam people pray more than Christians pray most times.
Yeah.
5 times a day. They pray to Allah. I ain't trying to make no fun, but I'm telling you about the dedication of certain religions.
Yes.
I went to a Buddhist temple once. You know, in my day, when I was going out, in Chicago, I just go different places. Let me go to this Buddhist temple and take this word of the Lord. Now, everybody can't do that. I don't tell everybody to do. I don't tell everybody to do what I do or go where I go, because you can't do that. You have to go on your own faith. So I don't tell nobody to go doing what I do. I'm crazy enough to do certain things, and that don't mean you got faith to do it.
That's right.
You got to work by your own faith, your own level of faith, because you get messed up.
That's right.
I ain't never been beat up, Brother Nate, but I've been ganged. I had guns. I mean, the Lord has delivered me, preserved me, and I got to thank him. I said, I got to thank him.
Amen.
Somebody has helped me to thank the Lord, to bless the Lord. Because he's a preserver and a keeper.
Yes, he is.
And you're going to find out how many people have real faith, because they're going to be tested more and more. You know the angel of the Lord said we're going to be tested more and more and more and more?
Amen.
Now, faith, the God's kind of faith. We have to build the God's kind of faith, and our prayers will be connected to faith. Because Hebrews say? Without faith, it is impossible.
Yes. Amen.
Without faith, it is impossible.
Yes.
Amen.
Did it say that?
Amen.
In Hebrews 11:22. So let's build our faith, and then we got to start exercising it. Exercising it. When the Holy Spirit will give you special faith. Do you know at times the Holy Spirit will give you special faith? The Holy Spirit will come up on you, and it's just like doubt went out the window, and you just believe God.
Uh-huh. That's true. Amen.
That's called an impartation of faith from the Holy Spirit when you need it at times. The Holy Spirit will come up on you and just shake you and say, believe. You know?
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes,
all right, we got a few minutes left, so I'm going to read another scripture about relationship, the prayer of faith and the prayer of relationship. Now, I'll read Hebrew chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrew 4 and 16. Look like we got this last one, or maybe once or twice more to read. Hebrew 4, 16. Hebrew chapter 4, verse 16.
Hebrew chapter 4 and 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need."
Would you read that again, someone? Read that again.
"Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace to the help in time of need."
Listen, as a redeemed covenant believer, every, when it says in what, Galatians 3, that neither male nor female, that all are one in Christ, it means that as a child of God, as a redeemed son, whether you're male or female, you, in the body of Christ, can boldly come to the throne of grace. And doesn't have to be a high priest around or nobody. You can come boldly. Paul said, come boldly. How can you come boldly to the throne of grace? Well, how can you come with assurance? And you have a right to come. Because the devil said, you ain't got no right. What are you doing up here trying to come boldly to the throne? Who you ain't? You ain't nothing. You ain't nobody. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, where you have a right. The devil keep telling you, well, you know, you made a mistake yesterday, you know, you don't have no right to come. Brother, last week, Brother Nate, you made a mistake yesterday, last week, Brother Nate, so you can't come boldly to the throne of grace. No, quit that, Ocho. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2.
"Be ye therefore fathers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also have loved us, and have given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor."
Now, listen. In Ephesians, it says, we have access. You know, the word access to God. In the Old Testament, the people did not have direct access. They had to go to the high priest only. They did not come. They could not come to the throne. They could not have no rights. They had to go to the priest and the high priest. That's the only way they could get to the throne of God. But in the New Testament, every person in the body of Christ, he doesn't have to wait on the priest necessarily. He doesn't have to wait on the pastor. He can't, well, I have to wait, next year till this person comes. No, you do not have to. This thing, I got to wait until assembly comes to get prayer. No, you don't have to, but you can if you live long enough. But here's the direct route to every born again believer. Come boldly. Come boldly. Why? Romans chapter 5, the closing scripture. Why is it the devil don't want you to come boldly, have an assurance that you have a right to come? In Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, as we come close. Because the devil is constantly telling you, you have no right to come. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2.
Let's see what we got. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto his grace, wherein
Listen.
We stand."
Two words. Justified access.
Yes.
Justified access.
Justified
and access.
Justified,
and I have access.
Access.
Thank you, Jesus. And I boldly come because of his righteousness, because I ain't got none of my own.
Yes.
When I come to throw, I can't depend on my righteousness because I don't have any. So I have to come with assurance because he is my righteousness.
Yeah.
I said he is my justifier.
Amen.
He
Thank
is
you,
my
Lord.
Redeemer.
Thank you, Lord.
He. I'm not dependent on mine. I don't have one that accept him. I have to depend on Christ is my righteousness and my right.
Yes, Jesus.
That's why he lives in me, and I depend on his righteousness by faith. How do I attain it? Faith. I trust him.
Mm-hmm,
I obtain it. And I confess that I have it because he said it's mine by faith.
Amen.
So if the devil comes around whispering in your mind, listen, you know, and he always reminding you of some mistake or some failure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He wants to condemn you so you can't come in faith. But you, once you put everything under the blood daily and you put everything into blood altar, and the blood says no more, the blood says no more, the blood of Jesus says no more, the blood of Jesus says no more, tell the devil, go look under the blood. Go look under the blood, devil.
Thank
see can you find
Jesus.
It. Go look under the blood of Jesus. See can you find it.
Amen.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
It ain't no more.
No
I don't
more.
Want what people might
Amen.
See in you. Oh, I remember last year. I remember last year you. No, you ain't my judge because according to God's calendar, it is no more.
No more. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I said it's no more according to God's book. I ain't worried about people. With people, oh, yeah, I remember 2 years ago. It ain't no more. It's
no,
no more.
More. Reconciled. Amen. Thank you,
Amen.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
All right, we're just about enter into our time out. We... I didn't give
got
you
a minute
guys
and a half
to, I didn't give you guys
got a minute and a half.
I didn't give you guys. Yeah, well, I'm gonna use every minute and every minute and a half, and a few more if I get. Let's ask God to bless us that we can give, that we can boast, that it be. I'm gonna give with God's grace to give a greater contribution to the brother. So that he can boast. I think you can boast is where it goes, right?
What's that?
The more money you give in it, you can boast the broadcast.
Yeah, you can boost it. Yeah. You can go up to a higher package. Yeah. I think it's 3 hours a day.
So what I mean is it can go further. Where it can be both, where it can go further area.
You're talking about boosting.
Yeah.
And
so this year.
Go ahead.
So this year we're going to, I plan on sowing seeds so that brother can boast it. It can go further and further countries.
Okay.
To help it to reach many people. And
Amen.
Many nations.
Amen.
Amen. And so I appreciate
Amen.
You two sisters being faithful. It's been a tremendous help by your showing courage and coming on. I want you to know we really appreciate your help because I really appreciate your courage and your faith. And a lot of other people, they, you know, whatever reason. So, but I do appreciate your sisters coming on and being a great help.
Amen.
And I say to all the women that we're listening to today that we have these two women of God that will be speaking to you more and more in the different world. And they'll be giving the word of God to you wherever you are in the world. That's why we call it It's Handmaid's Night. So we love you with the love of Christ, and the blood of Jesus has been shed to redeem you. Ask Jesus to save you and come into my life and deliver me from my sins and make me new, and he will do it. And then after that, you ask the Lord, where should I go? Be baptized and be immersed in water and blotted out. And necessary to be baptized in water in Jesus' name to fulfill the gospel. We love you with the love of Christ. Jesus is coming. Get ready.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. Thank God for the broadcast. Don't forget tomorrow night another broadcast at 7 o'clock p.m. Look for the advertisement. Therefore, in Jesus' name, we love you all. God bless you. God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Amen. God bless.
Amen. God bless. God bless.